Monday, sorry, February 22nd, 2016. Thank you, Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ, for the talent, opportunity to do this show. We are rocking and rolling for another half an hour, trying to do our thing, and talking about the NBA, talking about a little bit of college hoops, and we're going to talk about little football. But we're really talking about social issues here. We're going to be talking a little Peyton Manning at Terry there. But let's get started with the NBA. Little roundup of yesterday. We had a big day by Anthony Davis as the Pelicans beat the Detroit Pistons 116-106. Anthony Davis had a fair day. 59 points. He had 59 points and 20 rebounds. He went 24 or 34 from the field. He actually went 2 for 2 from the 3-point line, 9 of 10 from the free throw line. He was unbelievable yesterday. 59 points and 20 rebounds. Like I said, the Pelicans beat the Pistons 111-106. Picks off the bench. He has some help from Drew Holiday. A 20.9 assists. The Pistons were led by Reggie Jackson. He had 34 points. Andre Drummond, 21-14. What about what happened in OKC? What is going on with the Thunder? They come up on Friday. They lose to the Pacers. Then they come up on Sunday against Cleveland, and they get ramrodded. They got blown out 115-92. Kevin Love came out there with 29 points, 11 rebounds. LeBron James, 25 points, 7 rebounds, 11 assists, 15 rebounds. And the Thunder, they were led by their normal two. Durant had 26 points. Westbrook almost had a triple-double, 20 points, 9 rebounds, 11 assists. The fact is, they didn't have too much of anybody else doing anything. They scored their 46 points, but that was not enough as Cleveland just shut the door on the Thunder right there. They're by 23 in OKC. Ooh, that's not a good look. What about the Charlotte Hornets? Boy, they are taking it up a notch. They beat the Brooklyn Nets 104-96. Kemba Walker. He is, without question, the biggest snub in the Eastern Conference, not making the All-Star game. He had 28 points. What about Al Jefferson off the bench with 18 points? And then Nicholas Batum, he is really showing versatility. 16 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists for Batum. And for the Nets, you had Joe Johnson with 17. You had Brook Lopez, 16 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. He is really playing well right now. The Spurs, they made it on over and took out the Phoenix Suns, 118-111. Tony Parker had 22. Patty Mills came off the bench scoring 21. LaMarcus Aldridge had 19 points, 10 rebounds. Alex Lynn really well, 24, and he's getting that time now because of the Tyson Chandler injury, and he's really playing well, especially with no pressure out there in Phoenix right now. In Chicago, the Bulls topped the Lakers, 126-115. Yeah, you know, it's the Lakers. Not too much defense being played in that area. In that area, it was Derrick Rose with 24 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. Ethan Moore, he started, taking the starting spot of Jimmy Butler. He had 24 points. Pau Gasol, 21 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. For the Lakers, Julius Randle with 22 points, 12 rebounds. Bobby had 22 off of 8 of 20 shooting. Jordan Clarkson had 20 points. And then you had the Blazers taking out the Jazz, 115-111. C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard. They combined for 61 points. McCollum had 31. Lillard had 30. Both of them shot 21 times from the field. Combined, they were 21 of 42 from your guards. That is big time. And they are really doing it over there in Portland. For the Jazz, Derek Favors had 22 points, 8 rebounds. And then you had Gordon Hayward with 21 points. Now, we need to talk about this star combination over Portland. Got to talk about Damian Lillard. Hey, big on him when he was over at Weber State. He was a number 6 pick in the 2012 draft. I thought he would have a good shot to be rookie of the year. Close, no cigar. But now he is playing phenomenal, averaging 25 points a game, over 4 rebounds a game, over 7 assists a game. His shooting percentage is low, 42.6%, but his 3-point percentage 37.4, and his free throw percentage 85.5. Look here, we're talking about one of the premier offensive guards in the entire NBA. Matter of fact, outside of Russell Westbrook, is there another player that does as many things as Mr. Damian Lillard? I do not know, because he gets it done. He's in the top 5 in scoring, and he just gets it done. The surprise, surprise, was the number 10 pick of the 2013 draft, T.J. McCollum, straight out of Lehigh. That's right. I saw the banner last night where I was in American University in the Patriot League. That's right. He was from the Patriot League, making the league. Not just making the league, dominating in the league. Because McCollum, he's going for just under 21 points a game. He has over 4 rebounds a game and almost 4 assists a game. McCollum, he's shooting 44.5%. But what about for 3? 40.1%, 80% from the free throw line for McCollum. He has really been a find. How do you find 2 guards like that? Anybody think it's interesting nowadays that it is the dudes with the chip on the shoulder who are becoming the superstars of our league? Think about Steph Curry now. Steph Curry in North Carolina. He's in Charlotte. How many ACC schools offer him a scholarship? None. Nobody. He goes to Davidson, not UNC Charlotte, who has been a power, you know, who's been known to do this and that. No, no. We go to Davidson. And Davidson comes up. Remember, they make that unbelievable run in the Grade 8. And you got to say, well, wait a minute. Why didn't he go to a big school? Didn't play in a big-time AAU, and he didn't play in the big-time summer camps all over the country. Read the one that would get your name out and about. Well, what about these two? Damian Lillard, same way. He was more of a workout warrior to work out individually in the gym. Yeah, he would go out and play. But the fact is, his game was already there when he got to the NBA skill-wise. He had to learn a lot of things, intelligence and time and, how to rest yourself and such, normal rookie stuff. But he has not had a difficult transition from college to the NBA. One of the few guys who hadn't really struggled with that aspect. And then you have C.J. McCollum. He might even be better than Damian Lillard. Well, I'm not going to go that far. Comes in and has a dead-eye shooting accuracy. We knew that from college. Of course, remember Lehigh in the, what do they call it, the second round? The first game, second round. I believe, first game for Duke, second round, I believe. And McCollum had 27. Well, he's still putting up numbers, filling it up like he was in college. Number 16 scorer in the league. You got the number 6 scorer in the league. You got Weber State and Lehigh going up against whoever you want to see, and they are doing the job quite nicely, to say the least. All right, well, got to go to some college basketball. Woo-wee! It was going to be one of them weeks. If you're a Carolina fan, you know what happened Wednesday night. I didn't say too much about it, but hey, we'll talk about it right now. Now the 74-73 loss to Duke in Chapel Hill. Coach K winning his 11th game out of the last 14 versus Carolina. But I kept on telling people, not that big a game. It's a rivalry game, but it's not that big of a game in terms of the scope of the season. The big game would be Saturday, and it was against Miami. They took out Miami by a robust 96-31. They were up by 30 in this game. They dominated from opening tap, and it wasn't even close. Bryce Johnson, just give him the player of the year right now. Excuse me. Why I'm having throat issues this morning. Bryce Johnson, just give him the player of the year. 29-19 against Duke. He comes up against Miami with 16 points, 15 rebounds. The deal with what's the difference between the two games? The cards. That's going to be the Achilles heel of North Carolina. They only have two. Their defensive rebounding, which is really bad at times. It's adequate, but it's really bad at times. And then you have the guard play, who, boy, you can't go from one day to the next or maybe one period to the next without them being up and down and around. They have not had any consistency all year, which is incredible. Because that's supposed to be your lineup with the most stability with Marcus Paige. That hadn't worked out that way. So you come up here, and Carolina going to struggle if their guards do not show up, because that has been the Achilles heel the last two seasons. They haven't had any perimeter shooting. Well, now they have better perimeter shooting, mostly because of Joel Berry, because Marcus Paige has been awful this year. No one's asking him to play like he did his sophomore year, but geez, can you play like you did your junior year? He has not done any of the above. It has been struggle city. If he doesn't turn it on, Carolina's in trouble come madness time. Now, what about another team? Right up the road, I saw their girls team play last night. Big victory over Georgetown, but I'm not going to really go there right now. The Wildcats. On Saturday, they rolled up Xavier, something nice, 77-67. That put Villanova at 24-3 overall, 13-1 in the Big East. They got five dudes that average double figures. They're led by area guy, Josh Hart, straight out of state. Sidwell friends, don't forget Chris Jenkins as well. He played for Gonzaga. And you come up, that's their seventh win in a row, 37th straight win at the Pavilion. They have done it the right way over here at Villanova, but no one's talking about them. Even though they're number one team in the league, even though they didn't lose as soon as they got to the number one spot, no, people aren't talking about them. They do not trust Villanova. They're too small. They're too soft. They're too weak. They're too guard-oriented. Well, I'm keep telling people, guard plays will win this tournament because hardly anyone has good guard play from both the guards. Not this one, both the guards. You got Aragandino. I always get his name wrong at first. And he can compliment point guard, but with Villanova, their problem is they'll need somebody to step up in the tournament. They score enough, but it's everybody scoring. They're going to have a go-to guy in that tight game that you're going to get a ball to. And, you know, if you don't know who that guy is, that's when you have problems. I don't think Villanova knows who that guy is coming down the stretch. And, it probably should be Josh Hart because that, you know, he could very well come close to the player of the year in the conference because he has been the main dude for Villanova. That is for sure. What about the closeness in the Pac-12? Well, I told y'all about it earlier. I think it was just a week ago. We were going over the bubble systems and so on and so forth. Pac-10 had this team. Pac-10 had that team. Pac-12, excuse me, had this team. Pac-12 had that team. Well, we're just going to talk about the top four teams right now. Arizona, they are 22-5 overall, and they are 10-4 in the Pac-12, tied for first. We'll talk about the team they're tied with. Man, they're a nice team. Sean Miller really pushes this bunch. Got to like Alonzo Trier here. He really is a good one. But the main guy has been Ryan Anderson. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, he had flared a week. He has just been really good. Really, really good. Good as the transfer from Boston College. You've had I can't remember his name. Rustic. Son of Rustic has had really good contributions coming off the bench. You got a team that can get it done now. You got a good team here in Arizona. Gabe York, he's a consumer professional out there. He gets it done when everybody had trembling and such. And then Caleb Tarzewski, he is the big man down low. So he and Ristic, they really are really good combination, say the least. And, this should be good coming down the stretch. See if Arizona can keep off. That's right, Oregon Ducks. Hey, man, you know Phil Knight pumping the money up over there. They're getting them new facilities, having people stay chilling. Oh, man, you know it is nice over there in Oregon. Well, Oregon, they're 21-6. The other team that's 10-4 in the conference. Man, if you don't like Dylan Brooks, I don't know what to say. Kid is from Canada, I know, but he can really do it. And he has really been getting it done this year. Along with the freshman from L.A., Tyler Dorsey. He has been filling it up as well. Got to give him credit. Hey, Oregon is going to be a tough out. They took out, was it Colorado this weekend? And threw up 90 points. They can really fill it up when they're running you. Hey, they got the best big man in the nation in Jacob Poeltl. He has been dominant down there. And, I thought Jordan Loveridge would give them some stability. That has not happened. It has primarily been the big fella, and that was a little bit disappointing because you would think Utah would bring more of the noise. They have okay guards, but that's all they are. Nothing special to write home about or to watch mommy about. Then you have Cal. Hey, if you haven't seen this, man, get your popcorn ready, as T.O. would tell you. Ooh-wee. They look good, and led by the two freshmen, Jaylen Brown, who, in my opinion, should be the second pick in the draft. I have not stuttered around this all year. I know people are trying to pump up Brandon Ingram to me. Jaylen Brown, save your notes and all the other stuff. Then you have Ivan Rapp, who will be another top 10 pick in my opinion. And then you have Tyrone Wallace, who really hadn't shown. He's taken a step back, let the freshman team roll. And he's not really asserting himself like he was. He was really asserting himself last year. But last year, he was a fish. He was a freshman. So, got to come up here and see those guys play. Cal, hidden sleeper. Somebody better take them dudes out. They can really get it. All right, going to talk about the MEAC. You know I had to talk about them. I've been waiting to do this for a while. And, of course, when I talk about them, my Pirates leading the MEAC right now. And, of course, their idol, that's the kid. Such is life. Such is life. Yeah. Think it was going to work with Daddy. Did you get serious? Well, today, Hampton, they will be Delaware State. we roll. We don't do that dinky dink stuff. Meanwhile, South Carolina State, half game up behind Hampton. They beat Maryland Eastern Shore 62-58 on Saturday. Keshambe Riley had 16 points. Eric he had 15. You had Norfolk State, who was right behind NC State. They caught a big one. Got upset by Delaware State 67-64. And you had Norfolk State. They were up 12 at half. They were comfortably ahead. Delaware State comes from behind. Yvonne Waller had 18. Big loss by Norfolk State. They might have been able to sneak in. They wouldn't have lost that one. And then Bethune-Cookman, they get the FAMU 55-4. Johnson had 12. Mario Moody had 11 points, 8 rebounds, 30 block shots. Hey, this night you got the again, you have Hampton going to you got South Carolina State coming right down here to our university. You have Coppin State at Norfolk State, and then you have South Carolina A&T going against Morgan State. And I'm really disappointed. Surprised both of those, but I did not think both of them would get to the level they have this year. All right. Right. Well, I was a little more time. What we'll do is 7.5 minutes. I wanted to talk about the Peyton Manning story. Hey, it's got a lot of layers to it. It's got a lot of intrigue to it. When you take a look at the fact that Peyton Manning's always had a pristine image. I don't think anybody could doubt that. And he's always been put up on a pedestal about the smartest quarterback in the league, the quarterback people want, the prototypical quarterback, so on and so forth. But his behavior has always been put up with his excellence on the field. He has come up here and he has gotten endorsed. Single nowadays that Peyton Manning made famous. Well, Peyton Manning did it, and he is doing severe work when it comes to the advertisements. But then everything changed on the Al Jair story, talking about he was growth hormones was sent to his house in his wife's name, trying to keep it from everybody else. Then you come up. But right after that, when he was said to be upset with him being benched, even though he was clearly out there running the scout team cameras all around and the such, and you also have after the season, the sexual allegations from 20 years ago are coming back. On Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning said they were goofing around. The young lady said they were not. And the fact of the matter is, Peyton Manning getting a lot of bad press, more than any you would see in a probably a little bit more than normal. I'll just say that. Well, the fact of the matter is, like I said, that. You got a lot of reasons why this is new. Peyton Manning might retire, which would mean the retirement of one of the greatest quarterbacks that has ever played this game. You also have, and it's a situation that's really sticky to talk about. Has all this stuff been hit? Now, let's be factual. The sexual allegations that were put upon him when he was at the University of Tennessee, that was not hit. That was all over the place. Ladies, I was in this area, down south, Louisiana country. They were talking about it 2000. They were still talking about it back then. And, you know, a little surprising that a lot more people didn't know about it. But the fact is that, you know, Peyton Manning has always been given this pristine image. Meanwhile, in the Super Bowl, you had Cam Newton, everybody complaining about how he celebrates and looks to have a good time, which I think is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. Why wouldn't you want a player to have a good time? If he has a good time, he's giving positive energy, and everybody positive energy. My word. And even to go even one step further with Vince Young, I mean, he still has one of the highest winning percentages in NFL history. But they dumped him as soon as they could. When Steve Fisher was tired of him, he went to Philadelphia. He never had a chance to really learn the offense and really, really blew it. In the Seattle game, we didn't know how good their defense was. But the you got that issue going on with Vince Young, Cam Newton. And I'm not trying to make this a black or white racial scenario. What I am trying to say is that, again, we're seeing this coddling of some athletes and this pushing into the hot stove on the part of other athletes, and that needs to be rectified. But I don't know how it's going to be rectified. I mean, most kids nowadays who play athletics, they have already been, should I say, threat? Should I say some things are understood? And, you know, but it's not like that in the NFL. Anything goes. You curse out coaches, you curse out teammates, throw tantrums all over the place, knock over tables, throw stuff into the fans. You can do just about anything. But you're going to have you're going to have a time. And I think that right now, when it comes to Peyton Manning, you've got a lot of people with a lot of angst going up against Peyton Manning. Not that they want to suffer. Well, I'm sure you do have some. But you have but we're talking about Peyton Manning. If you get the money today, he has plenty to spare right now. So gotta the one thing when talking about Peyton Manning, to me personally, he should walk down Sunset. And I believe that will happen eventually. But it can't happen now with all the bad press. Because if he does it now and just walks away, then it looks like the press or the do what he needs to do in terms of retiring. You know, I believe he'll go to such. And but what a turnaround! I mean, one week to another, what a turnaround in a man's character when it's time to Peyton Manning. But we've seen the same thing happen with Ray Rice. We've seen the same thing happen to Greg Hardy. All right. Well, we are scheduled. Right now, it's still the same. I thought we were going to be going in the evening time. But right now, I believe we'll still be at 9 on Thursday. So, until then, toodaloo and bye-bye.